Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. I'm a team filling in for Qasim today. And our guest today is Shelly. So Shelly, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hi, my name is Shelly McKissack. I'm a rancher. I raise animals for farm-to-table meat, basically. So that's what we do. I'm also a United States Army veteran, disabled. And I found that this little ranch right here has been my mission. So we love it.
Awesome. And where are you guys located?
We're in Deming, New Mexico.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this ranch?
Funny question. Well, or funny story, I should say. So my husband and I, we were just kind of like, we were living in Phoenix, I think, at the time, and traveling quite a bit for work. And you know, I was actually raised up around animals, and he was as well. And he just got to talking about, man, it would be so nice to have like a little farm someday. And I was like, that really would. And then we started kind of researching and looking into what we might want to raise. We started out with hogs and in Texas. And then we learned quickly that wasn't going to be the way to go, because they required us to raise them in big buildings. And we were accustomed to having, you know, animals kind of raised organically, naturally. So we got a couple of pigs and we started on our venture.
Awesome. So you mentioned, you know, so like, you know, Texas versus New Mexico, is it like different laws that way you chose New Mexico, or what made you choose New Mexico?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different factors. The place we were living at, actually, we were living in Sierra Blanca, Texas. We found out that basically the USDA couldn't certify wells there because the water was poisonous coming off the mountains. They mine uranium out there. So we started looking in between Texas and Arizona because we like the desert atmosphere. That's what we kind of used to. We found Deming and we started to look up like the hydrology maps, how's the water. It was really excellent. We found this piece of property and we found someone to finance it with us. The owner financed it, and we purchased it for $84,000, 130 acres. And we got our well and our electric in, and it's been great.
Awesome. That's really cool.
So we redeveloped, Go ahead. Sorry.
No. So I was just asking, what does a typical day look like for you right now?
Yeah, so we get up in the morning, you know, pretty early, about 6:30, get the animals fed, take care of whatever chores we have to take care of. And then usually by like 9, 10 o'clock, I'm doing all the office stuff, marketing, working on my sales, you know, managing the books. I pretty much do everything right now. I did have a staff for a little while, but unfortunately, the inflation's kind of hit us pretty hard. We had to lay off, but, you know, it's just a small ranch, so we can pretty much handle anything that comes down the pipe. But yeah, we're just like in the morning, tend to the animals. In the afternoon, take care of the business stuff. And in the evening, tend to the animals again. So animals are our life.
That's awesome. So you mentioned marketing and sales. So what does marketing and sales look like for you? Like, how do you manage that? Like, what do you do to market your products?
Right. So we typically rely on Facebook, you know, Instagram. I do have a website, you know, that I'll tend to every now and again. I need to get a point of sale system up on that website, which is something that we are looking into and working on. Just making phone calls, you know, following up with other previous customers. And basically we set up right now, kind of like on a farmer's market kind of side. We do direct marketing, you know, we can sell off the farm, or we have like a local flea market here that we can sell our meat at. And we also go to a farmer's market that we sell our meat at. And, you know, that's pretty much what it is. It's just pretty local right now. Because we're not really at the size where we could be, you know, regional, but that is definitely our goal, is to be our meat product to be within, you know, the tri-state area, which would be Arizona, Texas, just the southwest corner here in New Mexico.
So, what would you say makes you better or, I guess, different than your competition?
So we don't have a whole lot of competition, which is really nice right now. But I would say that anything, like, say, for instance, there is a butcher shop in town. Their prices are outrageous. They have an overhead that we don't have, you know. So I think that would definitely be our edge because we are a farm-to-table operation. I mean, we're no process on the farm because I can't do that. But you know, we're able to keep our costs down where they're not, so we can compete with them and cut them out of the competition. We're even in competition with Walmart in our local area, and we've gotten a lot of positive response from everybody's loved our product so far. No complaints. And like I said, you know, we're keeping our prices competitive with Walmart. Now, our product is more on the prime side, so that's the kind of the pricing that I go towards. But yeah, I would say definitely we don't have the overhead as our competitors do, and we have top-notch product.
100%.
Everything's right off the ranch. If it's not off our ranch, it's off our processor's ranch. So everything is farm to table, where you don't have that luxury with any other meat producer out here.
That makes sense. I mean, I would honestly argue that Walmart probably isn't even, competition because to your point, your products are way more high quality. I mean, you can't even compare to what you're making than what Walmart's selling. I mean, it's
You
not even
can't. And I tell
close.
people that. Yeah, I tell people that. They're like, the price. I'm like, yeah, you're going to pay a little more. You are. But you're also going to have the most perfect quality. I mean, so, you know.
That's awesome. So, how do you manage quality control on your ranch?
Yeah, so we do it just through well, you know, obviously insurance and whatnot. But quality control for us is maintaining our pens, our corrals, making sure they're nice and clean, maintaining any annual vaccinations on our animals because, you know, animals do require that to stay healthy. Just keeping, you know, just a visual inspection every day of our animals, hands on. We are very hands on with our animals. So if there's something going on, we're on it. You know, so yeah, that's what it is. I mean, we try to make sure that they're healthy, they're happy, they have plenty of room to run around, and you know, that we're insured, and that the plants that we are operating with are state or federally inspected. That's super important because we have two different levels. We have the custom meat processing section, which basically a person can get a whole animal, and it doesn't have to be USDA, but we do have that option for them. Or we have our USDA processing, and all the plants are inspected, either by the livestock board or the federal inspection or the state inspection.
Awesome. So can you talk like a little bit more about the type of animals that y'all have, and just in terms of, for example, if I was going to go like on your website, what type of products exactly are you selling?
Yeah, so we sorry about that. I'm trying to see if I can find something to show you. So yeah, we sell beef, pork, lamb, and goat, Shabon, they call it. And the type of products that we sell is, you know, all the cuts. We do all the meat cuts, ground, grind, sausages, you know, hams, that kind of stuff. We also do the pork products or smoke products. Yeah, that's what we have. And it's all farm to table. And also another thing that we do, which is kind of unique to a farm-to-table operation, is we're able to accept EBT. That way, we're not discluding, or you know, we're including everybody in our market. Nobody is, you know, left out. You know, so somebody from, you know, that does get SNAP benefits, they're able to get the same quality meat, farm-to-table meat, as anybody else. So our kind of our motto is like farm-to-table for all. You know, because we're able to do that, and I take a lot of pride in that because I was in that situation when I was younger. You know, I was a single parent and I had to rely on the county for assistance, and I just want to give back to my community, and because they've been super supportive to us, and I want to just be able to make sure that we can include everybody in the sale of our meat.
That's amazing. So in terms of scalability, it's like, what does that look like? Are you able to ship the products or like, or are you, because you mentioned that you're more local now. So what does that
Yeah.
look like for you?
Yeah, so we are local now, just because we are limited on our inventory, right? So because we are just starting out, but We're not able to ship. That is definitely something that I want to be able to get to. I'm trying to, figure out all the logistics on that. What companies would be the cheapest way to do it? We have the option of FedEx, but that's probably going to be a little bit more pricey because I don't really want to push that much onto the consumer, right? I know they're going to have to pay a delivery fee, but I don't want to have to them to have to pay 20, 25, $30 just to deliver their meat, right? So we want to make sure that we have a logistics company that can work with us and not, charge too much back to the customer, not charge too much to us. Plus, there's the packing material and whatnot. But however, on the packing material, we get there's a local veterinarian here, and he's always getting in vaccinations. So we grab all his containers they come in, the styrofoam containers. So we and also the ice packs. So we recycle and reuse. That's super important for us to do that as well, to conserve, to recycle, to reuse. And our customers love that. And I love that too, because it costs less money out of my pocket. And I'm, saving the earth a little bit.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's what we're doing right now. But yeah, we would like to get to the point where we are able to ship outside of the, out of the area. And hopefully that'll be within the next year or so. We'll be able to do that, set up that
Awesome.
logistics system. Yeah. That was actually something I did in the military was logistics. So it's kind of my forte. It's just a matter of getting the time to sit down and figure out, okay, where is this going to, how's this all going to work out? And, what's going to be the final cost and everything? We're not really at that level yet, but when we do get to that level, that is definitely something that's in the works.
Yeah, that's good, Shelly. So
Hi.
what's the role of technology right now in your business?
So I would definitely say, obviously social media has been a huge part, and my website. I have like a handheld point of sale system, which I have to say, I don't know how I ever lived without. It's amazing. I don't have to do like sit there and do my invoicing on QuickBooks and send it out and all that. So I love that technology is getting smaller, that you can literally have a cash register in the palm of your hand. I think that's amazing. So yeah, that's how it's been definitely beneficial to us.
So what's the role of artificial intelligence you think you have in your business right now?
Yeah, I wish I had more artificial intelligence. Like, if I had robots to do shots on my goats, that'd be great. And my cows. I really don't. I don't have any. I would say I don't have any artificial intelligence in play. But that is definitely something that I would love to. Like, when once we get a little bit bigger and we're able to automate, I really hope that there is. There are ways that that can happen, actually. Like through our feeding systems, we can automate those and. Artificial intelligence can definitely take place there. Watering, you know what I mean? Okay, like measuring our watering troughs, for example, AI can come into play. Hey, how much do we, how much water is in those troughs? Do we need to, fill it up or whatever? Well, we have them on flows, but you get the concept. And definitely like the feeding, there's feeder systems out there that run and on AI and computerized. Where you load it up and it'll spit out exactly what you need, how much you need to feed that animal per day. That way you save on feed, so you're rationing, but you're saving money, and you're also saving product because it doesn't go to waste, right? So yeah, I think AI could definitely play a huge part in automation as we get bigger, as we grow.
But do you use AI now, for example, like ChatGPT when you're posting on social media? Or like, do you see any use cases, even like, for example, like for chatbots, like high-level chatbots like on your website that are communicating, having conversations with customers?
Yeah, I don't know if I have the chatbot set up yet. And the reason why, but I feel like that's definitely something that can work into the future again. But the reason why is because we're just not at that level where we're able to ship out product. But I think that once we get there, I think that's definitely gonna yeah, because I don't have that set up yet. But that's a really good idea, actually. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah,
Because
I think if.
I can put it on there for people to order from me locally. But I got to get my point of sale system set up with I'm with GoDaddy right now. And they seem to have a really good system and pretty easy to set up. It's just a matter of me getting in there and doing it. And I think, yeah, the chatbot, I never even thought about chatbots, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think chatbots is it's nice because, oftentimes, especially in the age of like instant responses, if you're out in the field and someone's, instead of like a bunch of emails back and forth, it kind of streamlines that process saying, hey, you can just answer questions with we you know I'm using technology to essentially communicate with your customer and
Yeah.
getting them to check out and buy your product.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I definitely have to look into that. See if they offer that service and if so, how I would set that up.
Yeah, definitely. So, what would you say is your biggest challenge right now in your business?
I would say the economy. It's killing us. Last year, we were probably paying 50% to even 100% less than what we are in feed and hay right now. Also, you know, with that increasing economy, people want to get paid more. And, you know, with a small ranch like ours, that's just not always possible. So, like I said, we had to do some layoffs this year, which was really, really tough. I only had, you know, three employees, but those three employees were pretty vital to my operation, keeping it up. Luckily, I've had my husband here for a few weeks, so that's been really good. Otherwise, it's just kind of me. But I think definitely the economy has been our biggest challenge.
So do you,
And just the inflation and how it's affecting everybody, but particularly farmers and ranchers.
So do you go back and then you charge the higher prices back to your customers, or what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yes. You know, when if my processor is going to increase how much he's charging me, I have to charge my customers extra money. Now, it's not going to be a whole lot. You know, I won't do that to the customer. I would rather take the hit than my customer. With ranching, you really never make a whole lot of money. You might at first, and then, you know, you got to spend it on this. So it's kind of like if you're breaking even, you're in good shape, to be honest. You know, I'm not going to become a millionaire, but what I am going to do is I'm going to provide the best quality meat that I can to my consumer. And that is the most important thing to me. My integrity is bar none. We offer 100% satisfaction guarantee on our meat products as well as our live animals. So, you know, yeah, that's probably the most important thing to me. Pushing it off to onto the consumer, I really feel is a little unfair. I realize it has to happen. You know, like I did have, you know, my prices obviously fluctuate with market, but I do try to keep them as low as possible for that consumer. Just because, you know, I want them coming back and I want them to enjoy the product that I have.
Right. But they're coming back. I mean, price is important, but also, I mean, to your point, you're providing very high quality product. And I think
I
it's like, that's, you know, it's not like they're, you know, you're providing and they're paying for that value.
Right.
That they
right.
can't get like anywhere else.
Right. Yeah, they are. But then again, if you say like, say, they paid $16 a pound last week, and then they go and I go up to 17, I guarantee you I'm going to lose a customer or two. So I really don't, I try to keep the prices pretty, you know, pretty low and stuff, but you know, I'm charging, like, say for instance, my T-bone, $17 a pound. That is outrageous to me. I would never pay $17 a pound, but I also have to think, okay, well, it's also top quality. It's definitely prime. And whatnot. And even though it seems like a lot, people are paying it because they want it. And that's good. And it's farm to table. And they're not going to get that at like Walmart or the local grocery store. They're not going to get it. So I feel bad in a way, but at the same time, it's like, hey, I got to make my money, you know, back on that animal. And that is taking in consideration all the increase of pricing in feed, in fuel, in labor, you know. So that's definitely
I mean, like I said, man, you're running a business, but also the value you're providing is important, because I think, you know, as you spoke earlier about quality control, right? And you're able to, you know, make sure it's the highest quality of meat. And I think, you know, it's like, as I always say, people get, you know, what they pay for. They're paying more, you're providing great meat. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, it really is. And like, so if, for instance, most feedlots, you know, they'll have, we're just small or whatever, but like in a 25 by 25 pen, which is not a very large pen for a large animal like a cow, they might have like 15 to 20 cows in that. And that's really inhumane. That's not how we raise our animals. We're in like, our animals are in like 100 by 100 paddock, and I've only got like maybe 6 or 7 cows in there right now, or three or four in the other one. So, and we have a max capacity. Like I would only put at 100 and 100 by 100 by 100, I'd put 20 cows, where a normal feedlot would be like a 25 by 25 with like 20 to 25 cows. It's ridiculous. And I feel like that's just wrong. Cause first off, you're going to have more issues with disease for sure. Uncleanliness, you're gonna have to clean that every single day. That's a lot of work. I don't want to do that work every day. But right now we do them about once a week, which is fine because our pad are they're so big, they have plenty of room to do what they got to do. But then like there's other issues, you may it's overcrowding, there's more issues with, like I said, disease, the overall health or overall happiness. And I don't know, I just feel like our way of doing things is different than a bigger feedlot situation, because we have the space for them to be able to spread out where a feedlot may not. And I just don't agree with the way they raise their animals. So I just don't do it like that. And even if it keeps me on a smaller level, I'm okay with that because I would rather be at a smaller level than pack a bunch of cows in a tiny little space. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, 100%. I think that's important. Like you're keeping your integrity. That's an amazing thing. So, what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
How hard it would be. No, I think, yeah, it's a hard way of life. It really is. It's not an easy way of life. It's not for the faint at heart. It can be super challenging. And then it can be super relaxing. So, there's going to be days that are up. There's going to be days that are down. Don't have great expectations for yourself because most likely those are going to get crashed, but that's okay. You have to pivot. So I think the biggest thing going into this is make sure you know how to pivot. Make sure you know how to change that plan up if need be, because we've had to because of the economy, and that's okay. So where we're at right now, I feel really comfortable. This is the direction we definitely want to go with the ranch, because we had different ideas about what we were going to do, but we went back to let's just make meat, and that's what we do. We just make meat.
Awesome. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your ranch?
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully within a year, I will be spreading out more throughout New Mexico and hopefully part of Southwest Texas, or yeah, Southwest Texas and Southeast Arizona. That's where I hope to be, in a little bit more of a regional area. But I would be happy if I could just even get up north a little bit and to the east and the west of me. I'd be happy with that.
Awesome. Well, I want to
We
say
hope to get.
shut.
We hope to be at about 50 head, producing about 50 head coming off their farm per year by next year.
So, yeah, that's awesome. So, I just want to say, so before we wrap, do you mind sharing your website and social media handles, like the best way for somebody watching this to get in contact with you and find your products?
Absolutely. So you can reach us at www.farmcritters, the letter R, us.com. Or Mac Ranch, MAC Ranch on Facebook and Insta.
Awesome. Well, I just want to say, Shelly, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully, you guys keep growing in this, Q4, and next year is a very big year for you guys.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, you
God
too.
bless.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Bye.